Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat on this Yom Tovach of Shavuos is all about Maamad Har Sinai. And we started yesterday. Today's daf is Pei Zayin, which is as good as gold, but we started on Pei Vav. We sort of took it easy, as Pooh would say, and it's a nice, beautiful day. And we started with the Machlokes between Rabbi Yosef. Actually, you know, let me go back. Let's take a look at how we got into this whole problem. It all starts with the question of the din of Polete Chichvat Zera. So we needed to bring a raya from Har Sinai as to how long was the period that the Prisha min Ha'isha was for. Now, it turned out that we had a machlokas on Amud Aleph immediately after the Mishnah, and we really had three different shittot. And in the end, it turned out we had four different shittot. So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the din is that a poletet even on the third day. Now, the third day means you might have had a whole first day. You definitely had a whole second day, which is two onot. And the third day, so the maximum that you had was four onot, four periods of 12 hours, but you might have had as little as two onot shlemot. So assuming that intercourse took place on the first day, and then you only had the second day that was shalem, so then on the third day, it would already be tohar. That was the most kal shita. Then we had the shita of Rebbe, that was Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Then we had the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, no, I mean, it could be four as a minimum. It might be five, it might even be six. Now, that would mean that the number of days that we had were actually three full days. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's always five onot. And according to the Chachamim that we had on Amud Beis, it's six onot, meaning that it requires 72 hours. It turned out that the machloket was when precisely the Prisha began. So if Prisha began on Wednesday, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzave the Am on Wednesday, so then, according to Rabbi Akiva, Wednesday by definition means Wednesday at the very first moment of the day, because he understands that the Yerida was Bahashkama. So that gives us Wednesday, one ona, Thursday, two onot, Friday, two onot, and then there were Tovelet on the night of Shabbos. That means there was a total of Chamesh Onot. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, actually, it was in the middle of the day at any point, and it was on Thursday. And therefore, the most that you have is Friday. For sure, you have those two onot. You might have another ona or two on the day before, on Thursday. But the only thing that we know is two onot that would be, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, two onot shlemot. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it was Wednesday, and therefore we've got the four or five or six. Okay, so we've got basically those shitas. What were they arguing in? That we came to understand yesterday at the end of the daf, that they were arguing about how to read the days of the Kabbalah Satorah, from which we can derive what day it was, how many days before Kabbalah Satorah was the mitzvah of Prisha. We were in the middle of that discussion. I'm going to go over it with you again, but this time I'd appreciate it if you would take out your chumashim so that you can see the psukim inside, which will enable you to follow a lot more clearly what the issue is here. So if you take a look in your Parshat Yitro, so this would be in Shmot, Perek Yotet. And we start at the beginning of Perek Yotet. So the Torah tells us that Pachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeit B'nei Yisroel Mi'aretz Mitzrayim, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. The Gemara darshans that Bayom Hazeh is the day of Rosh Chodesh. And it brings that from other examples of Bayom Hazeh. Okay. Vayisu Mirfidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai, Umosha Allah El Elohim. Everybody agreed that that took place the next day, not the day of arrival. So then that means that Moshe went up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him and tells them, him to offer B'nai Yisrael the Torah. Atem re'yitem, adim tishmoa tishmu b'koli, ayitim nisgula mikol ha'amim, atem tiyulim amlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, eila ha'dvorim asher tedabero B'nai Yisrael. Okay, Moshe comes down in the morning, He calls the Zikne Am. He makes them this offer. They discuss it with the Am. Everybody answers, Vayanu Chol Am Yachdav. Vayomru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh. So Moshe brings that answer up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayoshev Moshe Et Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. Okay? Then Hashem says to Moshe, okay, now I want you to know, I'm going to be coming, Be'av Ha'anan, Bavur Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Yimach, V'gam Bacha Yaminu Lo'olam. Here comes the pasuk that doesn't make any sense. Vayaged Moshe Et Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. And Moshe responds to that statement by apparently coming down, telling it to Bnei Yisrael, and bringing the answer. The answer to what? It wasn't anything that needed an answer. All there was an announcement that I will be arriving. This leaves us in a quandary because we don't understand what it was that the discussion was about. We're going to be talking about that today. So after Moshe tells this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Moshe, okay, then I want you to go back down and v'kidashtem hayom u'machar. Keep today and the next day separate from women, v'chipsusim lotam, go to the mikveh and so on, and be ready for the third day. Now the third day seems to say very clearly that there were only 2 days of prisha, and on the third day, there would be Kabbalat HaTorah, which is mashma, exactly like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, not like Rabbi Shmuel, correct? So it seems to be saying that all you had was 2 full onot, and possibly the whole day, possibly not, of the day that he came down and told them. But on the third day, by Yom HaShlishi, Yered Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to come down on Har Sinai. Then comes the pasuk, and then we have the din of not getting close to the Am, that's the Gvulas on Har Sinai. And so, Vayered Moshe min ahar el ha'am, and he does this, Vayekadesh et ha'am, Vayechapsu simlotam, and then in Posik Tetvav, something is very strange. Because Moshe does not say to the people what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to tell them. Instead, he tells them, Heyu nechonim l'shloshet yamim. Keep 3 full days, Al Tikshu Elisha. It doesn't say the third day. He says for 3 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hayom u'machar. And the Yom HaShlishi, I'm going to be coming down. Moshe instead tells the people, 3 days. Okay, so something is very strange. Now that, if we keep that into consideration, we'll be able to understand better what exactly is going on in this Gemara. So let us review just this last piece, which is what exactly is the machlokas that would define for us how many days there were between the mitzvah of Prisha and the actual Kabbalas HaTorah. So what we discovered yesterday was that what we were talking about was that everybody agreed on certain basic things, namely that the day that they came to Midbar Sinai was Rosh Chodesh. That we learned out from the Pasuk. That everybody agrees to. Furthermore, everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos, because it says Zechores Yom. Fine. So there's only one thing left, one factor that could possibly change our understanding of how many days there were. And that is the question of what was that day? Was the day that they arrived, which we all are agreed is Rosh Chodesh, was that on a Sunday, or was that on a Monday? So that's the question. So Rabbi Yossi, and this was the last thing that we learned. Let's take a look at the 4 lines up from the bottom of Amud Beis once again. Rabbi Yossi saw Var Bechad B'Shabbat Yikva Yarcha. Rosh Chodesh was a Sunday. Okay, so if Rosh Chodesh was a Sunday, then that means that we've got to account for all of the days between Sunday and Shabbos morning when the Torah was given. Okay, what happened during that period? So Sunday they arrived. Sunday, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say anything to them because it's currently HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak to Moshe. Everybody is simply relaxing, unpacking, setting up their tents. They're comfortable today. They don't have to worry about anything. The next morning, Moshe goes up. So that's Monday morning. B'Shrei B'Shabbat, Omar lo atem tiuli mamlechet kohani. That's the first thing that we have in the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Eila hadvarim, gives the whole speech about what I did in Mitzrayim, and vasetchem akanfei nesharim, and how much I love you, and how much I want this to be the opportunity of your lives, and atem tiuli mamlechet kohanim. Okay, so that's on Monday. Now Moshe has to come down and say that to the Am, okay? So they do, they hear it, but that's already the next morning because he was Yored Bashkama. So the things that he heard on Monday, and he discussed this with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes down and he on Tuesday, he discusses it with the Am, tells it to the Zikne Yisrael, and the Zikne Yisrael say, Naaseh, I mean, all of Yisrael says, Naaseh. The next morning, he goes up, and he says, Vayoshev Moshe es divrei ha'am, because we know that he used to go up in the morning, because it says, Vayashke Moshe baboker. So it was the next morning that he goes up, okay? Tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, they said, Naaseh. All right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, lovely. So, hine anochi bo elecha b'ava anan. Now, we're going to see later on that the pasuk that came after Prisha, which was v'higbalta et ha'am saviv, for which there was no amira, that pasuk actually was said on the same time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, hine anochi bo elecha b'ava anan. How do we know that? Because there is nothing else that could have justified Moshe's responding with something. What was the response about? It was about the Kabbalah of the mitzvah of Hagbalah. So even though that person comes after the mitzvah of Prisha, it does not have a Vayomer Hashem associated with it, which Prisha does, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that Prisha was actually said the day before. It makes sense to say that the Hagbalah was said before. Moshe Rabbeinu goes, tells the people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be Magbil. Fine. And therefore, Moshe is Vayaged es divrei ha'am. Must be that was the Kabbalah of the mitzvah of Hagbalah. Okay. So therefore, it was now Wednesday. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Wednesday they were Mekabel the mitzvah of Hagbalah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him the mitzvah of Prisha. Ukidashtem ayomu machar. Now, that means that between that day and Shabbos, we've got another 3 days. That means that there must have been 3 days available for Prisha. This is how Rabbi Yossi understands it. How he's going to deal with the psukim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying 2 days, and Moshe Rabbeinu says 3 days, that we'll see later today. I'm just reviewing with you what we did yesterday. The Rabbanan put this whole thing off by 1 day, because the Rabbanan say that Monday, betray b'shaba ikva yarcha, remember we're now in the third line of Pezayin Amad Aleph, and it was on Monday that nothing was said, and then let's push off this whole discussion by 1 day, which actually leaves us only 2 days for Prisha. And because of that, I hold, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I hold that there was basically only 2 full onot that you could be sure about, because by the time they got the mitzvah Prisha, it was already Thursday, not Wednesday. And therefore, there might have been a possibility that no one had slept with their wives on that Thursday. Okay, but we have no reason to assume that anybody who had had intercourse on that day was left with only whatever was left of the day of Thursday, which is the Mikdash Yom Kikulo, plus the full day of Friday. So he had 1 onah of Leil Shabbos and 1 onah of Leil Shishi, 1 onah of Shishi. And then Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, they went to the mikveh. Okay, that's how we understood it up until now. So now, if you don't mind, let us continue and get into some of the details. So we're holding today at Meitve. Meitve is 7 lines down from the top. So, Meitve. V'kidashtem ayom umachar. Doesn't it say beferish today and tomorrow? Today and tomorrow, the way I read it, is 2 days. How does that work out, according to Rabbi Yossi, who claims that there were 3 days of Prisha, and that this was said, actually, on Wednesday and not on Thursday. If it's only for 2 days and it was set on Wednesday, then the Torah would have been given on Friday, not on Shabbos. So how does Rabbi Yossi explain this? I explain it by saying that Moshe indeed did not do what he was told. Moshe decided, on the basis of his own analysis of the situation, that we need 3 days of Prisha. And because of that, the Torah should only be given on Shabbos and not on Friday. Fine? And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with him, and the Torah ends up being given on Shabbos. This is real Mesiras Nefesh for Lao, who's got a bris coming up in a few minutes here. But look at this. You know, Zos HaTorah, Adam Ki Amut Ba'ol, Kol Shekein, somebody who's about to go in for a Simcha and a Bris Mila, Bezras Hashem, it should be a schus. And he's here with us at the Mazel Tov. He's here with us this morning for the Daf Yomi. We had given up. I announced the bris before, but we didn't think you would show, so it's good to have you with us. Beautiful. Okay, so if that's the case, we know this, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tendency to do this kind of stuff, in which he did not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he decided to do things the way he felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted. Oh, and that was three things that we know about. So Shlosha Dvarim Asa Moshe Midato, V'iskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. Hosif Yom Echad Midato, he added 1 day to the Prisha, pushed off Kabbalah Satera by a day. He was Poresh Min Aisha, so either divorced his wife or separated from his wife, and never went back to being normal marital status. So even though the rest of Klal Yisrael was told, Shuvah Lechem Lo'alechem, after Kabbalah Satera, Moshe Rabbeinu never made it back home. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him, as we'll see. And the other thing that he did, of course, was the most famous thing of all. He broke the Luchos HaBris. Shiberat HaLuchot. Let's go through them one by one. Hosiv Yom Echad Midato, as we just explained to you, they arrived on Sunday, and the Torah was only given on Shabbos, despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hayom U'Machar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, L'Shloshet Yamim. Where did he get that idea from? My Dorish. Well, he said, if the mitzvah is Hayom U'Machar, then essentially that is a hekesh. So then that would mean Hayom Kim Machar. Now, Machar, the last day, is definitely going to be a full two onot. Because by the nighttime, they're already not sleeping with their wives because they know about the Prisha. So we have a full two onot the night before and the day. Therefore, if there's an additional day, which is Hayom U'Machar, then the day would have to begin at the evening of that day. And therefore, today doesn't count. Afayom Lelo Imo. Now, Laila Da'i, that's too late already for tonight because I'm only coming down in the morning. And in the morning, they've already wasted the night because they might have slept with their wives during the night. And therefore, we would not have that full time. And Laila Da'i now is already over. Nafkale. Must mean that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants is 2 full days besides today. And therefore, we need a full Thursday, a full Friday, and then the Torah can be given on Shabbos. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe? Well, he only showed up on Shabbos. If he wouldn't have agreed to Moshe, you know, he would have been up there on Har Sinai and everybody else would have been sleeping. It would have been a pretty embarrassing situation. But it's clear that all of this was actually the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, fair enough. Now, of course, this is a little bit of a problem for a number of reasons. Remember that we said before that the Luchos HaBris are the basis of our understanding that it was Shabbos. Why? Because it says Zochor et Yom HaShabbat. We learned out from Zochor et Yom HaZeh sheyatzatem mimitzrayim that that means that today is Shabbos. So are we claiming now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revised the Luchos? And that originally it didn't say Zochor es Yom HaShabbat? Oh, that's pretty wild. There are actually some Achronim that say that. And that the original plan was to have Shomor et Yom HaShabbat in the first Luchos. And therefore we wouldn't have been able to compare Zochor of today to Zochor of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Fine. Let's set that aside, and I'll tell you what I believe the correct pshat is. Because there's also another obvious problem. If we have a hekesh of Hayom U'Machar, that Hayom Kimachar, So then how do you call that Moshe Midato? It's not Moshe Midato because it's a drasha. And all psukim, everything that we learn from the Torah, is we have a right to say that is exactly what the pshat is, right? I mean, why is this drasha different than any other drasha? So Tosfos claims that, look, what we'll have to say is that this is not clearly ein zu drasha gemura, because the simple mashmaut seems to be pushing us to believe that it's hayom mamash. All right. So in other words, what Tosfos is saying is like this. In the end, we do not believe that Moshe Rabbeinu pushed HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu to do something that was not planned. Obviously, Zochorot Yom HaShabbat meant that Shabbos and the Luchos are interrelated. Zichru Toras Moshe, B'mitzvah Shabbos Gerusa, that's all part of the essence of Torah. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's das was needed in order to be koveya means that this is indeed Zichru Torat Moshe b'mitzvat Shabbat Gerusa. In other words, it's the specific judgment of Moshe in the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world that is what is koveya that relationship. And that's the point. So there were three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left open to interpretation so that Moshe Rabbeinu's Da'at would be that which expressed the Ratzon Hashem in the Olam, as opposed to other things where anybody could have made this drasha. Okay, so if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire thing was meant to be understood milechatchila by Moshe as he understood it, and because I have this special relationship with Moshe, me and Moshe are chavrutzas, he knows my das, and as the Malachim were told, look, If this is what Moshe said, I mean, he's the only one who knows what's really going on. Or the Malachim are looking, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He must be hanging out in the oil of Moshe. That's the Aye Mekom Kvodo. So this is Mamish the Pshat, that Zichru Toras Moshe is, in fact, linked to these three things that Moshe Rabbeinu understood was the way in which he needed to act. The other thing that he did was that he was Perish Mena Isha. Why did he with Parish Ben Aisha, my Dorish, Nasa Kal V'chomer Ba'atzma? He made a Kal V'chomer, and he said like this. If Yisroel Shelo Dibra Shechini Moim El HaShachat V'Kaval Lahem Zman Amra Torah V'Yunachonim, Klal Yisroel knew exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was due, and it was a one-time occurrence. And even so, they had to prepare, and they had to, everything had to be perfect, that there shouldn't be any pleita of Shechva Zera. Even though it was a suffix, I mean, who's to say that there's going to be any pleat of Shechvat Zera? They had to go to all of this crazy achonas to be in a position in which it was roy for them to speak with the Shechina. So somebody like me who is in a matzev in which he's always prepared to speak to the Shechina, which is a much higher madrega, kol sha'ah v'sha'ah Shechina medaberet imi, and I'm not told that I am going to have a particular time that I can prepare myself. So it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be on this madrega. Therefore, alachat kama v'kama, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to Moshe? Because it says, Lech emor lehem shuvu lechem lo'alechem. After Kabbalah Satera, all of Klal Yisrael is told, go back to your tents. Your tents always means to your wives. That's the definition of to your tents. Yeah. Where's Moshe, the mosquito killer, when you need him? So there, oh, excellent, Baruch Avram, terrific. So there, Moshe is told, but you, v'ata po'amodim adei, you stay here with me. Now, in that context, it's 100% clear that actually Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to be Parash Ben Aisha. As a matter of fact, as Tosfos asks, so how do we know it was all based on his Kal V'chomer? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this, maybe this was the entire basis of the whole issue. And Tosfos gives a remarkable answer. The answer is, says Tosfos, that if in fact this would have been the Mekor, how in the world could Aaron and Miriam have complained later on that Moshe Rabbeinu had separated from his wife? My God. It's a beferish at Sivoy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and he said, you stay here with me. So what are they, crazy, complaining that Moshe Rabbeinu was Parish Me'ishto and God told him to be Parish Me'ishto. However, that leads to another problem. So now we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Maskim. Fine. So let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Maskim. First of all, how did they know? Maybe they, if they didn't know that he was Dudit Midaita, why didn't they see this as an absolute Sivui? Where did they get the idea that he was only Parish Midato? We know it from them. Why did they know it? So Tosfos says they knew it because of the fact that Tzipora had gone out and had complained about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had separated from her. And she told them that this is what's going to happen now to these guys, Eldad Umedad, and they're going to end up being the same way. And therefore, they understood up until that time, they had thought that basically everything was being done al pi hadibur. But she said, you should know that from the time the Shekhinah started speaking to him, he had already been purged from me. Then they understood that this was his idea. So now the fact that this is an amazing Tosfos that I've mentioned to you many times because it's so incredibly meaningful in terms of our own lives. So Tosfos says, this is the Rabbeinu Tam, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with them, with Moshe, that didn't mean anything to Aaron and Miriam because they didn't agree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have agreed. And they said that the only reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always agrees with people if that's what they want for themselves. But it doesn't mean that he thinks it's a good idea, right? So, b'derek she'adam rotzeh lelechet b'molichim oto. Look, you know, this is what you want. I'm not going to get in your way. It's like parents and kids, you know, okay, fine. This is what you want. We'll send you to this college. This is what you want. Then fine, we'll do it. But it doesn't mean that it's a good thing at all. And therefore, they were angry at Moshe, which is amazing. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says in public, Ata po amodi modi. This becomes a posik in the Torah. And it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to stay separate from his wife. Don't mean a darn thing. Of course he said that, because knowing Moshe, he wasn't going to start up with him. Amazing. Okay. This also obviously leads us to the same question of the drasha that Moshe made is a kal v'chomer, and a kal v'chomer gives it a din of min ha'Torah. So what makes it al daita? Again, it's the same problem. Another Tosfos asks, this is a separate problem. If it's a kal v'chomer, so then it should be a d'oraisa anyway. And again, only because there's a judgmental question over here about whether such a kal v'chomer you can answer by saying maybe that's the whole point. I mean, if you have an appointment and it's a one-time event in history and you can prepare for it and so on, then that's what you should have to do. But if on the contrary, this is your constant situation, then maybe you're not meant to not live a normal human life. Okay. Again, what that means is that in the end, there we go. Now we're talking. So in the end, when it is what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu is koveya, is understood by us now to be clearly the Ratzon Hashem. Why? How do we know that they're wrong? From the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu smacked them across the face. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Aaron and Miriam, you idiots. And he Bedafka calls them, you come out, I want to talk to you. And there they are in the middle of sleeping with their wives. So he puts them into this embarrassing situation where they're running around looking for a mikveh. Mayim, mayim, as the Gemara says, they're shouting. And he says to them, you idiots, you see? Moshe Rabbeinu I speak with all the time. Here I catch you out one time with your pants down, and you're going nuts. So don't you understand that certainly he's going to be different than you are? Why are you comparing yourselves to Moshe? That means that it's very clear this was the Ratzon Hashem. Nonetheless, it was Moshe Rabbeinu Midaita. It's exactly the same thing that we said before about the day of Kabbalah Satorah being Shabbos, and being put off by Moshe. Yes, it's put off by Moshe. Yes, this choice was discovered by Moshe. But it's a profound insight into the nature of the relationship, and the nature of a relationship cannot be defined from the outside. It has to be defined from the inside. Moshe is the inside. That's the point. So Klal Yisrael defined Shabbos as the Yom of Kabbalah Satorah together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu defined the nature of his Nevi'ahs together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. The same thing is true of the next piece. And this is the third thing that is Moshe Rabbeinu's own choice, is that he was Shavar et Haluchot. How did he know he should be Shavar et Haluchot? My Dorish, Omar. If Pesach, which is only one of the Tayag mitzvahs, the Torah said, V'chol b'nechar lo yochal bo, and b'nechar, we darshan to mean someone whose heart has become distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we have the Luchais, which is Kol HaTorah Kula, and all of Yisrael have become this rachik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going along with the mice of the Egel. So alachat kama v'kama, that they do not have any rights to access to this Kedusha. Uminolan deiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayado, shenemar asher shibarta, v'omer ish lakish, asher shibarta, especially in context, psolocha shnei luchot avanim, and so on, and put them in an aron, v'katafti ala luchot. In context, asher shibarta means ani ma'asher lecha shibarta. I certify that break. Ashrecha, mu'ushar, yasher kolchacha sheshibarta. That's the point of asher shibarta. There too, even though there was no tzivui, again, if we're redefining a relationship, the redefining the relationship is mutual. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who made that determination on the point of part of Klal Yisrael. And this we see later on where the rest of the Am was Meiri de Adoim after the Maisa Egel on their own das. It was understood the relationship is not the same. We cannot have those Adoim on. That was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu said anything. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Horeid et Adyecha, you see? The same thing. So they were mechaving that they needed to be Meiri de Adoim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, so to speak, Yasher Kochachem, not take them off completely. So this is a simple insight into the nature of the way relationships work. There's nothing so wild about it that we pick up Bedafka these things. These are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to make these determinations. And because of that, it wasn't that it was said differently. We find an ambivalence in the Psukim, which now Moshe Rabbeinu can actually make use of to insert his das. That's the point. Okay. So anyway, we now understand Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh was Sunday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally had said on Wednesday that there should be 2 days of Prisha. Moshe Rabbeinu adds an additional day of Prisha. Kabbalah Shabbos comes out on Shabbos. Kabbalah Sotar comes out on Shabbos. And now everything is great. Okay. So now let's get back to the Sukkia. Toshma, let's see if we can bring a raya about when indeed the Prisha was. V'hayu nechonim layom ha-shlishi. Doesn't it say beferish to the third day? Kashel Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi said there was to the fourth day. Come on, man, we just said, Amrin on Yom Echad Osiv Moshe Midato. That's true, but that was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said originally. And remember that it was left open because of the drasha of Moshe, Liyom HaShlishi. Does it have to be similar to Machar's Kehayom? So now it became an additional day. So that's not a problem. Okay, Toshma, listen to this very strange brisa, and we will see that we've got a raya here. First, we won't even understand what the brisa is talking about. We'll try to understand later what it's talking about. But Shlishi, the big deal on the third was the third day of, we don't know what that's referring to, that was the third day of the month, and that was the third day of the week. Now, that is saying that Tuesday was the third of Sivan, correct? That's a big problem. Because if the third of the month is also the third of the week, it doesn't work out according to the Rabbanan. Because according to the Rabbanan, Tuesday was only the second of the month. So the Rabbanan will have to explain, this Braita is going like Rabbi Yossi, and you're right. It's not going like our Shita, but we disagree. There's no such thing as Shlishi, Shlishi B'chodesh. Ask the Gemara, what is Shlishi? When you're saying the big three, what three? What happened on Yom HaShlishi? Lamai. Okay, so this, we need to get into the psukim finally and understand the Seder HaPsukim. Look at Tanya. First it says, Vayoshev Moshe Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. Then in the Pasuk of the next day when he came up and responds to the mitzvah, which was not a mitzvah. Inei anochi bo elecha ba'ava anan. As we saw, immediately after it says, Vayaged Moshe divrei ha'am al Hashem, what was there to say? What in the world is going on over here? Can you tell me, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe? And what did Moshe say to Klal Yisrael? And what did Klal Yisrael answer to Moshe? And what did Moshe come up and say, yes, they've accepted? What the heck is this all about? This is a reference to the mitzvah of Hagbalah. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So as we saw earlier, remember that the mitzvah of Hagbalah was said after the mitzvah of Prisha, but there is no Vayomer that's associated with it, okay? Vayomer is just about Prisha, and then it says, V'igbalta et ahar saviv. Since we see that Moshe Rabbeinu definitely responded with something that he had presented to Klal Yisrael and asked for their acceptance, because it was very nogea them. I'm telling you, you guys have to be ready to be there at a Kabbalah Satira where you could get your heads handed to you. Are you willing to accept the fact that at Kabbalah Satira, everybody's going to have their own mechitza, and that if you move out of your place, you're going to get zapped by the electric fence, and this is okay with you? So they had to agree. Yes, that's part of our acceptance of the Torah. Okay. So then that is must be what is referred to that Moshe Rabbeinu responded to. That must mean that that pasuk about Hagbalah was actually said after the Hinei Anochi Bo Elecha Ba'av Ha'anan, which makes sense. I'm going to be coming down Ba'av Ha'anan. You guys have to make sure that you don't get too close because you're going to get zapped. Find out if that's okay. Moshe Rabbeinu comes up the next day after presenting it to Yisrael. Yes, that's okay. Then he's told the mitzvah of Prisha. Okay. That means that we've got on that third discussion was about this. This is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and this is on Tuesday. Rebbe says it's a complete misunderstanding. What the pasuk is basically talking about over here is the interrelationship that was going back and forth about the conditions of Kabbalah Satira, which took 3 days. And that's the Bishlishi. So remember, the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu is the offer of Kabbalah Satira. Atem tiyuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh and elo advarim, together with atem re'item, right? Moshe Rabbeinu responds the next day, and there it says, Vayoshev Moshe divrei ha'am. Then we find this next discussion, which we don't understand exactly. And then it says, Vayaged Moshe, es divrei ha'am. We don't understand what that's about. Says Rebbe, the difference in the language is exactly what it's about. These are not about different things. It's just that on the first day, the modality of this discussion was based around yeshiva vayashev. On the second day, it was based around the word yaged. What does that imply? So I will tell you what it implies. It implies that Moshe Rabbeinu's psychology about how to present Kabbalah Satira to Klal Yisrael was that, first of all, you got to tell them the bad news, then you tell them the good news. So basically, Moshe Rabbeinu was coming and said, listen, I got bad news for you and I got good news for you. What do you want to hear first? So it was, tell me the bad news first. We'll see that there's another shita that says, tell me the good news first. Okay. The bad news is that this is going to be hell. So you accept the Torah and you're going to be in for it. Okay. All of these mitzvahs, all of these einshim, all of this holocaust, this is going to be hell. So I might as well tell you that up front. That's the bad news. Moshe Rabbeinu told them the bad news first, according to Rebbe. That's why it says Vayoshev. Vayoshev is a lotion of shovav. Wild, something that presses you away. I'm not interested, I'm not interested. Instead, they said, anyway, we're interested. That's the Nase. And that was the first message to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, I only told them the bad news. They're ready to go in. Okay, now tell them the good news. Okay, so the next day, they get the message about all the schar and the mitzvahs and the wonderful things that Torah will give them and Olam Haba and so on and so forth. Then it says, Vayaged. So that would be a lashon in this, the way that Rebbe is learning it, is that he told them things that were like Haggadah, which draws a person into it, which gives them an understanding of what they're involved in. That's the meaning. So betchila pirish oncha, dechtiv vayoshev, dvarim shemeshavavim da'ato shel adam, they push a person away from Torah. And the next day he told them the matan schora, dechtiv vayaged Moshe, dvarim shemoshchim libo shel adam, ki agada. Others say no. He told them the good news first, and then he told them the bad news. So betchila pirish matan schora, dechtiv vayoshev, is a loshel of dvarim shemeshivim da'ato shel adam, make a person feel good. Lusov pirish oncha, dechtiv vayaged Moshe, dvarim shekashim la'adam kigidim. So what this means is that there were 3 days worth of discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Klal Yisrael, response of Klal Yisrael. Those were 3 days of discussions about whether we're going to go for this or we're not going to go for this. That's what Bishlishi means. So the 3 days of discussion, the last piece that we hear about it is on a Tuesday, which is the third of the month. That's what it's referring to. Okay? So then, if that's the case, it was a problem to the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan said, Eino chinami. This is going aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Toshma. Let's see if we have another raya. There was also a big six. And the big six, we don't know what that is, but whatever the big six was, it was on the sixth day of the month, and on the sixth day of the week, which again is a problem for the Rabbanan, because according to the Rabbanan, Friday was the fifth day of the month, not the sixth day of the month. Kashel Rabbanan. The Rabbanan will have to say, that's true, but this is also Rabbi Yossi. By the way, what's the big six? Shishi Lamai. Now, obviously, we can't answer this the way we answered the three, because the discussions ended on that third day. Okay, so it can't be that. So what is the big six? Lamai. So Rava says, it's coming to tell me that it was the sixth day from the day that they had come to Midbar Sinai and had settled in Midbar Sinai. Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes to say it was actually the sixth day, not only from when they came, it was the sixth day from when they had left Rephidim. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is, did they leave Rephidim on the day before they came to Midbar Sinai, or was it the same day? And what does that revolve around? Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, it revolves around the question of whether they would have traveled on the day before Rosh Chodesh, which was a Shabbos, because according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. So if they left yesterday, it would have meant they traveled on Shabbos. Did they travel on Shabbos? Well, why not? They didn't get the Torah yet, so there wouldn't have been a problem. Not true. Because as soon as they came to Marah, remember, there was already the mitzvah of Shabbos, because it says, Kasher Tziviticha, it says in the Luchas. When was HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah on Shabbos earlier? Those were Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat V'Sham Nisohu. The first mitzvahs of Shabbos were given in Marah, which was before Kabbalah Satira. And that is exactly what the Machlokas is over here, is it that in Mora they were told they're not allowed to travel, or in Mora they were told other things about Shabbos. And that's Kamifluge B'Shabbat Demora. Dechtiv, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Lokecha. What is that mitzvah that Hashem had told you before? Shamorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Kasher Tzivcha. When was that? Omrev Yonam Rav Kasher Tzivcha B'Mora. What was the mitzvah on Mora? So Mar Sovar, a Shabbat Ikput, but Atchumim Lo Ikput. Tchumim is not included in the mitzvahs of Mora. Only the Malachas, the Diraisa of Skila, that was included in Mora. But Tchumim was not included in Mora, and therefore they could have traveled on Shabbos. Now, the question of how could they have traveled on Shabbos, what about Hotzah? Here we're getting into the same issues, of course, we had at the beginning of Masechet. What is the relationship between Hotzah and Tchumim? Because if we don't know any of the dinim of Shabbos, in terms of Malachas, we said the only thing that's left is to know about the dinim of Tchumim of Shabbos. But that was Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. What if you don't hold of Rabbi Akiva and it couldn't have been Tchumim de Yoraisa? So then what would it have referred to as Tosfos? Ah, says Tosfos. Obviously, it would refer to Hotzah. So we're back again to the question of how would they have traveled if they had to carry everything with them, and then they would be carrying through the Rishos HaRavim. Now, since Hotzah is a Malacha Geruah, maybe it was left out of Mora, and then it only came into effect But this is really weird because it was in Mara that we started talking about the man. But we're about to get there and see how all of this works out. Okay, so this is the machlokas. Could they have traveled on Shabbos or could they not have traveled on Shabbos? This is the question. Okay, so Mar Savra Shabbat Ifkud Atchumim Lo Ifkud, Mar Savra Atchumim Nami Ifkud. Toshma, let's take a look and see whether we can work out historically what day Rosh Chodesh Sivan would have been that year. So the Braita says that the Nisan of Yitziat Yitzrayim was in that year was the 14th. They did the Shechit of the Pesach. The 15th, they went out of Mitzrayim, and in the evening, the Bechoros were killed. The evening? What the heck is wrong with you? It was the evening before. Yeah, obviously. Okay. The evening before Laku Bechoros, and that day of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a Thursday. And it was Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat Haya. Oh, let's stop right there. If the 15th day of Nisan of year one, the 15th day of Nisan was a Thursday. Can you tell me what Rosh Chodesh of Iyar was? Of course you can. Rosh Chodesh of Iyar must have been a Shabbat because Nisan is always 30 days. That gives you, again, modulo 7 would give you 2 days after you split it up into days of the week. 2 days later, which is a Shabbos, would be Rosh Chodesh of the next month. Okay. Iyar is 29 days, and that would have meant that Sivan is on a Sunday, because there's only one left over after taking out the 28 days that could be divided by 7. And therefore, it turns out that Rabbi Yossi is right. Rosh Chodesh was on a Sunday. Kashil Rabbanan. Say the Rabbanan, well, as you know, the only time that we can be absolutely sure that Iyar is 29 days and not 30 days is if it's a Shana Kisidran. So Shalkan Shanak is Sidran is 354 days, including 6 full months and 6 chaser months. Okay, so we've got 6 times 30 and 6 times 29. Gives us 354 days. However, that year was not a Shanak is Sidran, and what they did was is they added an additional day to Iyar, which pushed off Rosh Chodesh Sivan until it was a Monday. That's what happened. So because of that, Iyar Da'ishayte Ibrua Ibrua was a 30-day month. Excuse me, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya that's not true. The lo ibrua. Okay, listen to this, Brita, and you'll see Iyar was only 29 days. Here's the other version of this Brisa, okay? Nisan shebo yatsu Yisrael mimitzrayim. That first year was on the 14th that they shechted the Pesach. It was on the 15th that they went out of Mitzrayim. And in the evening, the Bechorot came. They were killed. What in the world is wrong with you? I mean, the evening before the Bechorot were killed. And that day was a Thursday. So far, so good. Now let's read the rest. Okay. Nisan finished, Hishlim Nisan, because Nisan is full. And that meant that Iyar came out, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, on a Shabbat. Now look at the next word. Chiser Iyar. Iyar was only 29 days, and that means that Sivan came out on a Sunday. Now it says Beferish, not like the Rabbanan, Kashla Rabbanan. Say the Rabbanan, well, of course, you know. This is a paid political announcement. Rabbi Yossi was the one who paid for this Braita. We're talking about the Braita without all of that stuff in it. And that is, obviously, Iyar was 30 days that year. And Sivan came out, Rosh Chodesh, on Monday. Okay, says Rav Papa, all right, let's take a look at the Psukim, all right, instead of getting involved in paid political prices. Tashma. Now listen to this. This again, if you've got your Chumashim, take a look at the situation. What we're talking about over here is Perek Tes Zayin in Shmot, and Vayavo Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael El Midbar Sin B'Chamisha Sayom LaChodesh Hasheni LeTzeita MiEretz Mitzrayim, and everybody's going wild. We have nothing to eat. What in the world were you thinking, dragging us out? Ki yotzeitam otonu la midbar hazeh, la mit et kol hakahal hazeh b'ra'av. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, do not worry about a thingo-wingo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be sending you the man. And then when the man comes down the next day, Moshe Rabbeinu says, 6 days you're going to have to eat this man. And on the seventh day, which is Shabbos, it will not come down. Okay, so then that means that the man started coming down on a Sunday, right? And the day of the arrival over there of Adas B'nai Yisrael in Elim, it says Beferish, was the 15th day of the second month of Yitzias, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, in that first year. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, take a look in the morning, Ubokevaritem Kvod Hashem, you're going to see the man, and you're going to be eating it for Sheshes Yamim. Now, let's figure this out, man. If the 15th day of Iyar was Shabbos, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, tomorrow morning, which is Sunday, you're going to get the man for the first time. You're going to have a whole week to eat it before you have to worry about Shabbos. Now, of course, that isn't really true, as you know, because Moshe Rabbeinu only said that to them after they came and complained that they got Lech HaMishnah on the next Friday. Okay, that's true. Tosfos points out that, you know, that's a little bit of a problem, the Gemara, but not really. Because remember that what Moshe Rabbeinu told them was, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me originally that I did not tell you. Of course, I mean, Tosfos says he forgot. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous, but okay. And in actuality, the Sfora was, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at him that he didn't say it before, but his Sfora was, wait until they themselves are like amazed. What's going on? Ah, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me originally. But anyway, now we're talking about it as if it was told him originally. Okay. So now it follows. Let's make the simple cheshbon, okay? If that day was a Shabbos, because it says Bokarita mit Kvod Hashem, and it says Sheshet Yamim Til Ketu, so if the 15th day of Iyar is a Shabbos, then that means that Rosh Chodesh of Sivan has got to be a Sunday, because you only have that one day left over after another 14 days, because Iyar is only 29 days. And therefore, Sivan must have been Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, exactly like Rabbi Yossi said, Kashel Rabbanan. Say the Rabbanan, the same answer we told you before. You're making an assumption that it was a normal year, and Iyar was 29 days. But that year, they made Iyar 30 days. Look, we can bring a clear raya from these psukim. Take a look at this. Tashma. Let's take a look at what happens a year later, okay? It is now in the second year, and that was the day that Hukam HaMishkan. All right, so this is the first day of Nisan. Now, look at this. Remember that that first day of Nisan was that magic day that took 10 incredible crowns. All right, it was the first day that Moshe Forman smiled a full smile. A full smile. All right, well, it's not the first day of Nisan yet. Looks like we got a long wait. So it was the first day in which Esra Atarot, it was the first day of Maisa Bereshis. Okay, if it was the first day of Maisa Bereshis, what day of the week was it? Sunday. It was the first day that the Nisim began bringing their gifts to the Mishkan, which we just read about. Okay? It was also the first day of the Kuhuna, because that was the time now that was given over to Aaron after out of Moshe's hands. It was the first day for doing the Aveda. It was the first day for the Eish to come down min HaShamayim and to burn up the Korbanos. It was that's what it says in Shemini. It was the first day of eating Kochim in the Beis HaMikdash in a particular Mokum, instead of just being free for all. It was the first day of Yerida Sashchina. It was the first day for the Kayanim to be Mevorech Es Yisrael with Birchas Kayanim. It was the first day that it was usher to bring a korban anywhere else but in the Mishkan. And it was the first of all of the months. Okay, now what is this saying? It's saying that Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, of the second year, was a Sunday, correct? Okay, now let's work our way back. If Reish Yarchad Nisan, the High Shata, is a Sunday, then that means the year before, the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan must have been a Revi B'Shabbat. Because after all, the Tanya Achirim Omri, Ein Bein Atzeret La Atzeret, the Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah La Rosh Hashanah, Ela arba'a yamim bilvad. The bottom line is that according to the Acherim, we always have a chodesh mele followed by a chodesh chaser, which means that in a normal year, we have 354 days. If you divide 354 by 7, you're left with a remainder of 4, because the 7 days of the week are all canceled out in the 350, which are the number of weeks, the 50 weeks, and you've got the 4 extra days, and those are the number of days that are going to be pushed off between one Rosh Hashanah and the next Rosh Hashanah. If it's a Shana Mu'uberet, then that gives us one additional month, which is Chaser, because the Acherim hold Adar is Chaser. That means 29 days. Divide 29 by 7. You're left with an additional remainder of 1. And that pushes off the next Rosh Hashanah by 5 days. So if the Rosh Hashanah before was on Shabbos, the next Rosh Hashanah is on 5 days later, Thursday. We can work our way back in exactly the same way. So if the beginning of Nisan of year 2 was a Sunday, then that means that the previous year's Nisan must have been on a Wednesday. If that's the case, then that means that Iyar of that month must have been on a Friday, because remember that after all, we always have a 30-day long Nisan. But then that means, assuming that Iyar was a normal Iyar, so then Resh Yarcha de Sivan, the next month, which is Sivan, must have begun on a Shabbos, assuming that Iyar was a normal Chodesh Chaser of 29 days. So what the heck? That doesn't work out according to anybody. Kasha, Bein l'Reb Yossi, Bein l'Rabbanan. Reb Yossi holds Rosh Chodesh was a Sunday. The Rabbanan holds it was a Monday. So something is terribly wrong. Answers the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yossi, there must have been 7 months that were chaser that year, as opposed to the normal 6. So in other words, he doesn't hold of the Acherim, which means that the year, that first year, was 1 day shorter than usual, which meant that everything was 1 day later than we thought. Okay, so that explains the difference. According to the Rabbanan, we've got 2 days missing. We're going to have to say that Aliba de Rabbanan, they actually made 8 months that were chaser. Fine. Okay. In any event, we'll get back to this tomorrow. So far, I hope we now have a clear sense of the psukim, an understanding of the different stages of Kabbalah Satera, the discussions between Moshe and Klal Yisrael. This is a tremendously eye-opening Gemara. I'll get to you and Jeff in a sec. Tremendously eye-opening Gemara about how the entire relationship evolved in the course of the discussions of Midbar Sinai, the things that Moshe Rabbeinu had to take upon himself, the back and forth between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it makes the Kabbalah Satera something that is a lot less romantic and a lot more powerful and realistic than people usually relate to it as.